Well, this hour, we'll take your phone calls with Len Keston as we talk about Project Serpo, the planet, and then also we'll talk with him a little bit about his upcoming book, March of 2017. It's called Alien World Order. Hard to believe saying that year, 2017. My, oh, my, oh, my. But we'll be back. We'll talk a little bit about that. Not all of it, because he's going to come back in March. So stick with us. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Len Keston with us, of course, as we talk about Planet Serpo. They also call it Project Serpo. Len, the new book that's coming out in March, we'll just touch on just a little bit of it as we can. Tell me about the title, Alien World Order.
Well, it's basically the story about the reptilians that came here approximately 1 million years ago to this solar system. Way before the human race. So they've been here much longer than us. And they really considered their planet. Once Atlantis became settled, a war developed between the humans and the reptilians. And this book is the story of that confrontation, that struggle that has lasted down to the present day.
Some people, like David Icke, say that there are some humans who are from the reptilian line of extraterrestrials. What do you think of that?
No, I don't think so. The human race and the reptilian race are totally, totally different. The DNA of the reptilians has never changed in thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. Ours has been tweaked 22 times. What we call Homo sapiens has evolved because of DNA changes.
Were the reptilians what one would call draconians?
Yes, they're originally from Draco. That's right.
Not very pleasant, right?
Not very pleasant. They just believe in domination and war. They're not into agriculture or any of the peaceful pursuits as we are, as humans are. So that's where we find ourselves now in the 21st century. We're still involved in that confrontation.
Might the reptilians have been considered devils or Satan? Because
Stephen
they kind of look the same.
Stuart Swerdlow does make that connection. I think he's probably right about that, that since they do inhabit the lower fourth dimension and not very comfortable in the third dimension, then it would appear that they might be viewed as demons or entities like that of the lower fourth, yes.
Are the reptilians still here?
Absolutely, absolutely. They're underground. They have been for thousands of years.
They walk upright?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Kind of describe what a face would look like a lizard?
Somewhat they are, but they're also in a certain strange way they are attractive. Swerdlow talks about the fact, Robert Morningsky talks about the fact that in a strange sort of way they are attractive creatures, but they are basically very much into confrontation, military domination. They're not into peaceful existence.
Could they annihilate us if they wanted to?
That's not in their interests to do that. They don't want to annihilate the human race. They want to enslave the human race.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in West Palm Beach, Florida, to get us started on the wild card line. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
How you doing?
Great.
Favorite topic is Donald Trump or reptilian. I've been on the air before. You don't agree with me, of course.
No, but you believe that.
You
believe that. Well, it is kind of funny.
It's funny, yes. Well, go to YouTube, shape-shifting technology. He's described, they're using these reptilians, use this special technology to fool us, make you believe they're humans. But the problem with Trump is his facial features kept changing over the last few months. And what the feeling is when they read the YouTube stuff is that the technology is breaking down and there's problems with his face. I discovered, and I brought this up before on the air, you don't like it.
Mike, hold on one second. It's not that I don't like it, so don't think that.
Okay, all right. You disagree with me. This famous quote of Donald Trump, the Democrats have been using on the anti-Trump ads on television about the blood. He's talking to this woman reporter. He sees blood coming out of her eyes and blood coming out of, and he cuts himself off. In my opinion, reptiles love warm-blooded animals to eat. And he got hungry, and he was looking at her as food, and couldn't control himself. His reptilian brain came in, and he had to make that stupid statement. But that's what, see, the Democrats are saying he's insane because he made this statement. He's not insane. He's a reptile.
No, he's far from insane. All right, what's your take on that, Len? Is Donald Trump a reptilian?
You know, I don't know that. I don't think he's part of the Illuminati. I think he's not in that group. And since he's not in the Illuminati, we know the Illuminati have a reptilian bloodline. We know that. And I don't think he is one of them, because he separated himself from them, and his agenda is different than theirs. I don't think he is, really. They're talking about the fact that the Queen recently admitted to not being human. I don't know if you heard that story or not. The Queen of England made that statement on the royal website. But I don't think Donald Trump is, no. That's my opinion.
Well, it's a good opinion, I think. Susie in Walla Walla, Washington, west of the Rockies. Susie, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
This is very, very fascinating to me. And I have actually two questions. I want to know, you talked about the other species having numbers. They don't have names. I wanted to know, first of all, how they communicate. Is it done telepathically? And then the second question I wanted to know is what their agenda is. Well, not theirs. What the United States agenda is with them.
All right. Two good questions. Len, first of all, how do they communicate?
Now, when you say who are we talking about here?
The Ebens.
Well, they had a very, very strange language consisting of musical tones, just like in the movie Close Encounters. And in order to communicate with the one that we had under captivity, our scientists actually implanted a vocal cords that allowed him to speak normally with us. But it wasn't telepathic. It was not telepathic communication. It was actual speech, if you would call it that. But they had a very, very difficult language to learn.
And in terms of the agenda, what is our agenda? What do we want? Technology?
Well, George, it depends on whether we're talking about the cabal, which is a military-industrial complex, or the people. What the people want is a peaceful existence. What the cabal wants is immense riches and enslavement of the population. So those are two different objectives, totally different.
Karen is in Philadelphia, now on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi, Karen.
Oh, fantastic, George and Len. I wanted to explain something before I ask my question, if you will allow me.
Sure.
Len, the story goes like this. First of all, I did a jump in 1983, and I landed in a colony of reptilians. I mean, this might sound wild and far-fetched, but jumping is something like shape-shifting. And in that experience, I remember being scared out of my body, so to speak. And I said to them, well, why are you here? Why am I here? What are you doing? And they told me in 1983 they were here measuring the lava flow in the Grand Canyon. Well, I didn't get it at the time. But later on, I began to realize maybe there is something going on in the Grand Canyon that they're not telling the public about with the lava flow that's taking place in an active volcano in the Grand Canyon. And later on, in 1984, I was at ARE Foundation in Virginia Beach,
mm-hmm.
and I ran into an old-timer. They have one of the best metaphysical libraries in the world.
Oh, they do, yes.
This old-timer named Al, who's now deceased, I asked him, I said, do you know where the portals are in Virginia Beach? Because I had read that there were portals there. And he said, yeah, I think I do. So he took me behind the parking lot, which is now built up, and you can't get back in there. It's like a swamp area. And we lost about 7 hours. It seemed like a few minutes. But we sat in the portal area that he described. This is where the portal is. And he took me back in the woods behind ARE. And so I'm asked, my question to you is this. Is it possible that we are able to interact with reptilians through shape-shifting or jumps? Because I know I've traveled places that there's no way physically I could get to, and I have very keen memories of the things that I've experienced. The reptilians I found were really scary for me, and they didn't talk. It seemed like everything was telepathic. I did talking, and they communicated to me telepathically. Is that possible?
I think so, because their language is difficult to understand, too. And if you did communicate with them, it very, very likely could have been telepathic and probably was telepathic. The reptilians are most at home in the fourth dimension. It takes a lot of energy for them to manifest in the third dimension. So they seem to be demons from another dimension in many cases, and but they really are just the fact that they can shapeshift is because they actually inhabit the lower fourth dimension. They do communicate telepathically, I've heard.
Len, how were we discovered by the Ebbens from such a distance? How did they know and realize there's life there on that planet Earth?
Well, they've been roving the galaxy for thousands of years. They brought with them, they presented to us something called the Yellow Book, which is a history of our planet. And they get around. They've had this technology for many, many thousands of years. So that's where they had body parts. They had human body parts on the Roswell craft because they were taking them back to Serpo to be studied and to be used for cloning. They've been doing this for a long time.
They've been doing it for a long time. They've been traveling throughout. And how many planets do you think are like Earth with inhabitants on them?
Thousands and thousands.
Yeah, maybe more.
This is a huge galaxy. And there are many, many that are way in advance of Earth and many that are way behind us. It's a very highly populated galaxy. And from what I'm learning, so was Andromeda. Same thing. So, you know, we're slowly getting out there, slowly understanding what's been happening and who we are and where we belong.
The stories of Project the Serpo and the stories of the Ebbens, do they echo Genesis at all? Are we talking about maybe one and the same?
I don't think so, George. That's not the connection. Genesis goes back to when the humans first populated this planet, which was only, according to Stuart Swerdlow, only about 40 to 50,000 years ago. We've only been around that long, whereas the reptilians came here about a million years ago. They were the first ones here because they've had spacefaring technology for thousands and thousands of years.
First-time caller, Jack in the Queens out there in New York. Hey, Jack, thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Morning to you.
So I keep hearing, I think it was George, you said something about you thought the life on our planet has been directed or choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how, I haven't heard you mention the monoliths in the film 2001.
Good question.
Now, wait, I just want to say, when I was 10, because that story was written by Arthur C. Clarke. When I was 10, a long time ago, I remember reading a book by Arthur C. Clarke called Travel to Mars. And I was hooked right there. And then when the space program started, I watched every blast off. I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. Okay, so what about the monolith because of what it depicts in that movie?
And you know, Len, I never, when I was that age, quite got the monoliths. I didn't understand what they were.
Well, the moon has been a battleground for thousands of years. The reptilians, when they first came here, they settled on the moon. And they slowly inhabited Earth from the moon. And so there's all kinds of structures on the moon, many of them built by the reptilians. And some by previous civilizations from Earth. Actually, the civilization that inhabited Atlantis had a spacefaring technology as well. They were also able to travel to the stars, and they were on the moon many thousands of years ago. In fact, according to one book, there was a lunar colony of Atlantis. So there's so much prehistory that you have to get into when you start talking about these things that it's mind-boggling, really.
I get into it
in some degree in my new book.
Let's go to New York again. Dan is in Montrose, New York. Daniel, go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi, Dan.
Listen, just a quick thing, just a statement. A lot of stuff that this gentleman here is saying is really good, you know. But because the technology is so diverse throughout this galaxy and physics and chemistry and biology, these reptilians or any aliens are not, I repeat, are not demons of any nature. And I can prove this some other time. But, however, why don't this gentleman and Dr. Greer get together? Because with all the people that Dr. Stephen Greer has, it seems like that with these 300 to 400 people that he has, not one of them said anything as far as the Serpo part of it is concerned. maybe a meeting between us and the government, I'm sure, but that the astronauts actually went to another world. I don't remember Dr. Greer ever saying that that's ever happened. In fact, he was skeptical about it about a decade ago. So,
all right, let's find out. Len, in terms of in the UFO community, which is widely known, but are they tightly knit? I mean, does one ufologist work with another?
No, there's a lot of varying opinions. I think, George, I think you know about the story of Ben Rich, don't you? Who
Yes.
was the head of the Skunk Works?
Yes.
And what he said just before he died, we now have the ability to travel among the stars, but the technology is tied up in black programs that it would take an act of God to get it out of there. And he also said we now have the ability to take E.T. home. That was in 1989. So we've had this technology for quite a long time. And that should be taken into account.
John Podesta is desperately trying to get information on ufology for not only Hillary, but for himself. He thinks it was one of his biggest failings in government, not getting the answer to all of this. It's still shrouded in secrecy, Len, isn't it?
Well, because the Illuminati control the flow of information. They're not going to release it. They control the media. They control the banks. They control the oil companies. They decide what gets released, even to Hollywood, and what does not. And so what chance have we got to get at the truth?
And those people who want to go public get shut up pretty quickly, don't they?
I think so, yes.
We have Mike in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
And my question goes back a little bit to the secret space program and the Corey Good story and whatnot. And
yes.
You know, if that is true about what we're saying, that the Draco have a deep space program. And also, my other question is, do you think that we have a disclosure movement that is real, that we might possibly get disclosure?
I'll let you take the disclosure question, Len. I've always argued with Steve Bassett that it's not coming from government. What do you think?
I agree entirely. They're not going to release it. I know that Hillary has hired John Podesta as her chief of staff. I know Podesta has spoken out openly about it, and maybe he will release it. But every time that a president says he's going to release this information, when they get into office, they just clam up. So I'll believe it when I see it.
Now, these draconians, why do they live underground? Because they're obvious if we saw them? Or is that their environment?
Well, believe it or not, it has to do with Atlantis. The Atlantean civilization was human. But it wasn't the Homo sapien civilization that we are. They were much more advanced than we are. And the Atlanteans drove them underground. There were wars on this planet between the Atlanteans and the Reptilians, and ultimately they sank Lemuria. And when that happened, the Reptilians had to go underground, and they created a whole civilization down there.
How many are down there?
You know, the latest estimate from Alex Collier, and I don't know, there are widely varying estimates. He believes that of the actual Draco, probably no more than 2,000. But then we have to deal with the Greys, and the Greys are hybrids of the Reptilians, and they do all the work.
That's right. They're the drones.
Of those numbers, I think they're probably way up in the 30, 40, perhaps 50,000.
All right. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with Len Kasten right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Len Kasten with us, our final segment, as we talk about his works, of course, Secret Journey to Planet Serpo. The other one is The Secret History of Extraterrestrials. And Alien World Order is coming out in March of 2017 about the reptilian age and your calls, of course. Fascinating subject, fascinating, Len. And I'm finding that people are, the more they hear about it, the more they want to learn more about it.
Well, you know, we need to have this information. We need to understand where we are now in the 21st century. It's about time. They've been suppressing this information for so long. It's time that we learn about it and our consciousness begins to go up and to raise. We've waited much too long for this to happen, really.
Yeah, we probably did. Now, this reptilian group that we were talking about being deep underground, might they be at Antarctica by any chance?
Yes. They were at Antarctica, absolutely. They have a colony there. And that's why the Nazis located their colony there, because they were connected. So, but mainly they're under the Indian subcontinent, and that extends all the way to Tibet. They have a huge civilization down there.
Are they still flying in and out?
Yes, absolutely. They go in through near Lake Manasarovar in the Tibetan highlands there.
So when we get reports of UFOs, sightings, might they be UFOs that are emanating from within the planet?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, the Greys, what we call the Greys, they are indeed from inside the planet. That's where they're from.
But they're extraterrestrials.
Well, originally, yes.
Yeah.
You know, originally, the Draco came here and created a hybrid race with the Syrians, and they became the Greys. And so they're related.
Are we peacefully coexisting with them?
I wouldn't call it peaceful. I wouldn't call it peaceful at all, because their intention is to enslave us and to keep us enslaved. And they've been trying to do that for thousands of years. But the human race is finally fighting back. It's taken a long time, but we are.
Do we get help from, like, the Evans?
Let's just say we get information from certain entities, particularly the Andromedans and the Pleiadians. And they have helped us, but they cannot interfere. We have to do it. We have to do it ourselves. And the only way we can do it is by raising our consciousness. That's the key.
But they have our back?
I'm sorry?
Do they have our back?
I believe they do, especially the Andromedans. The Andromedans supposedly have 12 biospheres circling our planet and right now, and they are very helpful to what we're doing now.
Lynn, have you ever heard of the Black Knight satellite?
I have not, no.
All right. Apparently, there's a satellite orbiting the planet. It's been there for thousands of years, apparently, sent from a different solar system, a different group of extraterrestrials that monitor the planet, but it's called the Black Knight satellite, and it's supposed to be up there, just going around the planet.
Now, are they human civilization or reptilian?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
Good question.
But we have a lot of humans helping us. The Pleiadians are basically humans. The Andromedans are humans. So, you know, basically it's two different species now.
Well, see, I'm convinced that in Genesis, when they say God made us in, you know, his own form, I always think, look, I believe in God, but I always think that they were talking about extraterrestrial races that we look like.
Well, George, you're just taking a chapter out of my new book.
How about that? And I haven't even read it yet. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Bob, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hey, Bob.
My question is, actually two questions. The first one might be a technicality. You said the returning astronaut met with the Pope, and you said Ratzinger in 2014. I believe Ratzinger resigned in 2013. Could he have met with Ratzinger, and could that be the reason why he suddenly resigned? That was my first question. And the second question is, why would these reptilians allow us to evolve if we were going to be in competition with them, or did God put us here?
The human race has been fighting back, and we have a lot of friends in the galaxy. By the way, it was Pope Benedict XVI, and I thought that that was Ratzinger. I may be wrong about that. But he met with, he did meet with him in 2014. I'm sorry, wait a minute, hold on, no, wait a minute. No, that meeting took place in 2008. I'm sorry. That was 2008 is when he met the Pope.
All right, and
he died in 2014. I had that reversed.
Pope Benedict the 16th was in office from, let me see where this is, 2005 to 2013.
Yeah, that's right. They met in 2008 in New York City. They spent two and a half hours together. And then
he's still alive.
Who is?
16th.
Yes, he is still alive. Yeah. He abdicated.
Right. He called it quits for some reason.
Right.
I wonder if they scared him or something.
Well, who knows? I don't know. All I know is that they met, and that's in the new release number 36 on the Serpo website. Anybody can go out there and read all about it, www.serpo.org. It's still there.
Interesting take. Okay, let's go to D.C. in the Bronx in New York. Hi, D.C.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have two questions. First question is, did the reptilians have a hand in the rise of Hitler? And number two, how is it that the Reptilian bloodline and the Illuminati bloodline connect? Thank you.
All right, let's take the second one first, Len. Talk about the bloodline of the Reptilians and the Illuminati. Is there any crossover there?
Yes, there are. The Illuminati do have Reptilian. They're partially have part of the Reptilian bloodline. In fact, most of the royalty down through Europe and all over the world, they all have Reptilian, part of the Reptilian bloodline. That's why they intermarry. They do not want to change that because it allows them to shapeshift. It allows them to work with the Reptilians themselves. So if that was the question, the answer would be yes.
And the other one was, did they contribute to Hitler's rise in power?
Yes.
At the time?
Yes. In fact, the Reptilians was the alien race, we could call it alien, that Hitler was allied with. And that I've discussed in my previous book. So that's now well known, I think. And that's exactly the reason that the Nazis built that colony in Antarctica, because the Reptilians were already there.
Submarines under there and everything else, they think, this is what I've heard, that there's a city under the ice.
Yes, exactly. New Berlin, it's called. New Berlin.
Who made it?
Well, originally the Reptilians dwelt down there. That was one of their colonies before the pole shifted. But then they invited the Nazis to build a colony there too. So they both dwell down there now. But then you have the whole story about the inner Earth population, which is another story, that there was a Germanic culture already under the ice that was part of what they call the inner Earth civilization.
Right. All right. Jim in Payton, Colorado, you're on the air with us, Jim. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you, George and Lee. I appreciate taking my call.
Sure thing.
A big one. Boy, I've been waiting for some kind of answer on this. Nibiru.
Ah.
Planet Nibiru. What do you know about that, Lee? Is it exist? Is it coming towards us?
The work of Zechariah Sitchin, Len, of course, the planet that comes around every 3,600 years. Do we know anything else about it?
Well, you know, they say that the Anunnaki really are a reptilian race. But they may be, but they don't get along with the Draco at all. They're really not friendly with the Draco.
Not many are.
Right, exactly, because the Draco are the Draco, and they don't have anything to do with anybody else.
But you believe this planet does exist?
Nibiru?
Yeah.
I think so. I have no evidence of it, but I do think so. There is enough material on that that I think it really is true.
Well, I find it fascinating, too, that astronomers will always come up with, well, we find another object in the solar system, another planetoid, or there's something else out there. I think there's something there, too.
Well, supposedly, according to the literature, our sun has a dark twin, and that this planet revolves around both suns, the dark twin and our sun. So it's sort of a figure eight revolution. I don't know. That's what Sitchin more or less implied.
Len's website, serpo.org, serpo.org, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And in March of 2017, it'll be there sooner than you think. Alien World Order. Can you believe how fast this is going?
By the way, pre-ordered. The book can be pre-ordered now, even though it's coming out in March.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it can be pre-ordered either in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Inner Traditions, which
great.
Is the publisher.
Fast year, Len, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Tony in Corona, California. Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Tony.
I just thought I'd comment a little about Edgar Rice Burroughs when he was doing the John Carter Warlord of Mars.
Yeah.
Martian Chronicles. He mentioned that John Carter was actually a Union courier, and he woke up in a cave after he was wounded and found out that he was on another planet.
Huh.
And because that had been transferable... the Demento passage or what?
I think Edgar Rice Burroughs was really one of the first science fiction writers, a lot of his stuff is really very, very interesting. I agree.
Where do you think they come up with their thoughts and theories? I mean, when they write these so many years ago?
I don't know. All I can tell you is H.G. Wells was probably the most prophetic writer of all time.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. And Isaac Asimov, I think, was pretty
Isaac Asimov, yes. But H.G. Wells seems to have had a crystal ball. He was so accurate. And when he wrote that book, War in the Air, 37 years before Hitler, it was an amazing, amazing book.
What do we know about Mars, Len, from the Ebens or any source? Was it an inhabited planet?
Yes. Yes, Mars has been a battleground for thousands of years. And I think you're familiar with the super soldier story, right?
Yes.
You know that Corey Good and Randy Kramer both claimed to have been super soldiers on Mars.
That's right.
And they came back and said that there are reptilian colonies there. In fact, Randy Kramer said his whole battalion was wiped out by the reptilians on Mars. So, yes, and if it's true, and I think it is true, it's being controlled by the Illuminati, not by our military. They're the ones in charge of that whole operation up there.
We're going to Indianapolis now. Hi, Brian. You're on the air with us.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good, Brian.
Hey, listen, I want to make a quick observation. I'm listening to this show here at work. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm 54 years old, and what Lynn is saying is extremely interesting. And I'm sitting here, I'm worried about my retirement account. You know, I'm stockpiling food and water and ammo, you know, to protect my family and
just in case
anarchy and our tyrannical government. And now Lynn wants to tell us that these reptilians want to enslave us. Why don't they just come down here and enslave these terrorists, you know, and thugs here in America, and enslave them and leave us productive people alone? But anyway, I'm just kind of laughing about that. But anyway, here, I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
The Illuminati's, the oligarchies, and these reptilians, I guess they're all intermingled, and that's probably why they're on top, because of these reptilians. Can you explain the evolution of the oligarchies and down through the lines, and is the United States the only country that's negotiating with these people, these extraterrestrials, or is every head of state on Earth in a group negotiating as a big group? And I'll take my answers off the air.
Right.
Hey, George, you got to come to Indianapolis too.
Yeah, that should be a great area for another live stage show. Indeed, take the second one first. The U.S. is not the only ones negotiating, correct?
Yeah, really. I don't know if negotiating is the right word here, but Russia certainly has been, and China also.
All right, and the reptilians and the evolution of the Illuminati, was that together?
The reptilians more or less placed the Illuminati in power because they have a reptilian bloodline. They're about 40 to 50% reptilian bloodline, and the ones that have over 50% are able to shapeshift. And so under 50%, they can't shapeshift, but they nevertheless have the reptilian bloodline. But they've been running the planet for a long time, and the people live in poverty, and the reptilian Illuminati live in plush surroundings.
Kansas City. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George. George, has a question for you and your guest.
All right.
I heard years ago that folks that go blind, or if they have a family member that sees UFOs, that sometimes blind people are visited by men in black. Is there any truth to that? Because I could have swore I heard that on your show years ago, because they're tuned in more to paranormal things. Is there any truth to that, or am I just imagining that? It seems like I have heard that.
I have not heard that specifically, that blind people get visited more often. People with sightings, or in their case, the feeling of a sighting, will get visited, but I don't think that they're singled out. Len, have you heard anything there?
No, that's a subject I know nothing about, George. Absolutely
okay.
Nothing.
What else, Jimmy? Anything else?
No, that's it, George. Come to Kansas City sometime.
Okay, my friend. Thank you. Let's go to Jay in Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jay. That would be nice, George, if you'd hit the button. Go ahead, Jay.
All right. Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to know if your guest thought on if this was afterlife and in space, if hell is the lower dimensions and the lowest dimensions, and if heaven would be the highest dimensions. I had heard a guest on a new show, Beyond Reality Radio, saying that there was a matrix on the moon, I believe, where they actually try to trap the people and keep them enslaved there. What would be the proper title for the Most High God? Because I've been hearing Elohim, and then I hear Yahweh, and there's this deception of that. And I had heard that Lilith had fallen after she was first seduced by the serpent.
Right.
And she had many children. That would be the origin of the original serpent line, then Eve's serpent line with Cain. And then she had went to Mars and had several children all over the place. I've heard the Nordaks are gone, as they would be an example of the good ones. I've heard all the good aliens are gone, and it's just the bad ones left. And so I kind of wanted to get his opinions and confirmation.
Let's take a take at some of those, Len, before we run out of time, if you would.
Okay. I can talk about the Elohim. The Elohim were a very highly advanced human race living in a distant part of the galaxy. They were all part of Lyra. When the reptilians attacked Lyra and slaughtered 50 million, the human race on Lyra scattered throughout the galaxy, and the Elohim was part of that diaspora. And they were part of the creation of the human race on this planet because they were so advanced. So that's all I can tell you about the Elohim. That was roughly only 50,000 years ago when what we call Homo sapiens sapien was created by the Elohim. That's my understanding of the situation.
Well, it's just about 30 seconds left, Len. I want to thank you for being on the program. Great information, and keep doing what you're doing. And let's count on getting you back when the book's officially released sometime in March, okay?
Absolutely, George. Be glad to.
Len Keston. When I come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Bruce Goldberg joins us. We're going to talk about his work in the area of reincarnation. He is always an amazing person. He's next on Coast to Coast AM.